Nida, or little penis worms. Familiar or not, these are elemental divisions. Yet there is surprisingly little agreement on how many phyla there are or ought to be. Most biologists fix the total at about 30, but some opt for a number in the low 20s, while Edward O. Wilson in The Diversity of Life puts the number at a surprisingly robust 89. It depends on where you decide to make your divisions, whether you are a lumper or a splitter, as they say in the biological world. At the more workaday level of species, the possibilities for disagreements are even greater. Whether a species of grass should be called Aegilops incurva, Aegilops incurvata, or Aegilops ovata may not be a matter that would stir many non-botanists to passion, but it can be a source of very lively heat in the right quarters. The problem is that there are 5,000 species of grass, and many of them look awfully alike, even to people who know grass. In consequence, some species have been found and named at least 20 times, and there are hardly any, it appears, that haven't been independently identified at least twice. The two-volume Manual of the Grasses of the United States devotes 200 closely typeset pages to sorting out all the synonymies, as the biological world refers to its inadvertent but quite common duplications. And that is just for the grasses of a single country. To deal with disagreements on the global stage, a body known as the International Association for Plant Taxonomy arbitrates on questions of priority and duplication. At intervals, it hands down decrees declaring that Zalshneria californica, a common plant in rock gardens, is to be known henceforth as Epilobium canum, or that Agliothamnion tenuissimum may now be regarded as conspecific with Agliothamnion bisoides, but not with Agliothamnion pseudobisoides. Normally, these are small matters of tidying up that attract little notice, but when they touch on beloved garden plants, as they sometimes do, shrieks of outrage inevitably follow. In the late 1980s, the common chrysanthemum was banished, on apparently sound scientific principles, from the genus of the same name and relegated to the comparatively drab and undesirable world of the genus Dendranthema. Chrysanthemum breeders are a proud and numerous lot, and they protested to the real, if improbable-sounding, Committee on Spermatophyta. There are also committees for pteridophyta, bryophyta, and fungi, among others, all reporting to an executive called the Rapporteur Général. This is truly an institution to cherish. Although the rules of nomenclature are supposed to be rigidly applied, botanists are not indifferent to sentiment. And in 1995, the decision was reversed. Similar adjudications have saved petunias, euonymus, and a popular species of amaryllis from demotion, but not many species of geranium, which some years ago were transferred amid howls to the genus Pelargonium. The disputes are entertainingly surveyed in Charles Eliot's The Potting Shed Papers. Disputes and reorderings of much the same type can be found in all the other realms of the living, so keeping an overall tally is not nearly as straightforward a matter as you might suppose. In consequence, the rather amazing fact is that we don't have the faintest idea, not even to the nearest order of magnitude, in the words of Edward O. Wilson, of the number of things that live on our planet. Estimates range from 3 million to 200 million. More extraordinary still, according to a report in The Economist, as much as 97% of the world's plant and animal species may still await discovery. Of the organisms that we do know about, more than 99 in 100 are only sketchily described. A scientific name, a handful of specimens in a museum, and a few scraps of description in scientific journals is how Wilson describes the state of our knowledge. In The Diversity of Life, he estimated the number of known species of all types, plants, insects, microbes, algae, everything, at 1.4 million, but added that that was just a guess. Other authorities have put the number of known species slightly higher, at around 1.5 million to 1.8 million. But there is no central registry of these things, so nowhere to check numbers. In short, the remarkable position we find ourselves in is that we don't actually know what we actually know. In principle, you ought to be able to go to experts in each area of specialization, ask how many species there are in their fields, then add the totals. Many people have in fact done so. The problem is that seldom do any two come up with matching figures. Some sources put the number of known types of fungi at 70,000, others at 100,000, nearly half as many again. You can find confident assertions that the number of described earthworm species is 4,000, and equally confident assertions that the figure is 12,000. For insects, the numbers run from 750,000 to 950,000 species. These are, you understand, supposedly the known number of species. For plants, the commonly accepted numbers range from 248,000 to 265,000. That may not seem too vast a discrepancy, but it's more than 20 times the number of flowering plants in the whole of North America. Putting things in order is not the easiest of tasks. In the early 1960s, Colin Groves of the Australian National University began a systematic survey of the 250-plus known species of primate. Oftentimes, it turned out that the same species had been described more than once, sometimes several times, without any of the discoverers realizing that they were dealing with an animal that was already known to science. It took Groves 4 decades to untangle everything, and that was with a comparatively small group of easily distinguished, generally non-controversial creatures. Goodness knows what the results would be if anyone attempted a similar exercise with the planet's estimated 20,000 types of lichens, 50,000 species of mollusk, or 400,000-plus beetles. What is certain is that there is a great deal of life out there, though the actual quantities are necessarily estimates based on extrapolations, sometimes exceedingly expansive extrapolations. In a well-known exercise in the 1980s, Terry Irwin of the Smithsonian Institution saturated a stand of 19 rainforest trees in Panama with an insecticide fog, then collected everything that fell into his nets from the canopy. Among his haul, actually hauls, since he repeated the experiment seasonally to make sure he caught migrant species, were 1,200 types of beetle. Based on the distribution of beetles elsewhere, the number of other tree species in the forest, the number of forests in the world, the number of other insect types, and so on, up a long chain of variables,